everyone. My name is Elijah Davis. This is the South South Apostolic Seventh Chain Congregation outside of South Island, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July the 28th, 2017, or it is the 6th day of April 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, He Lives. The risen Savior, He's in the world today. Know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, and hear His voice of cheer. Just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the still way. He lives, He lives, salvation to Him far. You ask me, I know He lives. He lives within heart. And all the world around me, I see His loving too. And though my heart grows weary, and every wound is spared, I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come. He lives, He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to Him poured. You ask me how I know He lives. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah, the Yeshua the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. Another is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to Him poured. Ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Prophecies of the Daniel Revelation number 13. We're going to continue on. Shepherd Rod, volume 2, page 191. For this prophetic period commenced at the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Daniel 9:25. The decree made by the king of Persia was carried out in 457 B.C. See Ezra 7. Therefore, it terminated in 1844, at which time Yahshua passed from the holy into the most holy place. For the routine study, see the Great Controversy, page 486. We shall endeavor to prove that the vision of Daniel is of the same event as that of the John. Daniel speaks of the thrones, plural, and he makes a distinction of the throne of the Yahweh's Ancient of Days by the fiery stream coming from before him. The book of the Daniel is a prophecy, but the vision of the John is a revelation. Daniel says he saw thrones, but John gives us the number of them. 25 and all, Revelation 4, 2 and 4. Daniel says, a fiery stream came forth from before him. John tells us what the stream is. But a sea of glass mingled with the fire, Revelation 4, 6 and 15, 2. Daniel says, thousands, thousands, and ten thousand times 10,000 stood before him. John tells us who they are. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Revelation 5:11. Daniel said, the judgment sat, and the books were opened. John adds that one of the books was in the hand of him that sat on the throne, and was sealed with the seven seals. Revelation 5:1. Thus John gives us more explicit revelation of the same event. The door he saw open is the veil between the holy and the most holy. For there is no other that has been kept closed. Therefore, the word hereafter in Revelation 4, verse 1 means from the time of the vision, pointing forward unto 1844. Though the priest of the earthly sanctuary entered the most holy place but once a year, according to Paul, Yahshua entered the holy place once forever. See Hebrews 9:12. And of that time, the apostle said, he is to appear in the presence of the Elohim for us in the holiest of all, Hebrews 9:24. Therefore, Yahshua could not enter into the first apartment as a priest before his resurrection from the dead, the time that he became our high priest. Neither could he enter into the most holy in that capacity before the day of the judgment. For the Paul said, he entered in once. Then the prophecy by the Daniel and the revelation by John can be of me. Can be of no other event than the commencement of the judgment at the date stated 1844. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are brought into the presence of the Yahweh in the most holy place. Says the apostle, having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19. As the same vision continues, we pass to the fifth and sixth chapters of the Revelation. According to Revelation 5:1, 3, 5-7, and 6:1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with the seven seals. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, and neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. To the Root of David. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, the book sealed with the seven seals in the right hand of the great judge must contain the names of those whose sins are to be blotted out. Inasmuch as this is the only book that no man in heaven nor in earth was able to open, neither to look thereon, save the Lamb, which was before the throne, see chapters 5, 1 and 9. It is unquestionably clear that the book with the seven seals is the one called the Lamb's Book of Life. And with it, the judgment opened. The same is repeated in the Revelation 20:17. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according unto their works. See the Great Controversy, page 480. Since this cannot be refuted, it is evident that a foundation for the application of the seals is established. We quote the scripture of the first four seals, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Revelation 6, 2-5, and 7 and 8. Some have applied the seven seals of the sixth chapter of Revelation to the congregation in the New Testament time, but the symbols are contrary unto the application. In both Old and New Testament time, Yahweh's congregation has been symbolized by a chaste woman. See Jeremiah 6:2, Revelation 12:1. Inspiration makes no change in the rule for a symbol of an impure church. For in the Revelation 17:1-5, an harlot is used to point out a church of churches that are fallen or untrue. The change of this rule from woman to man or horses cannot be found anywhere within the Bible. It is not only unscriptural to apply men and horses as symbols of the congregation, but it is altogether unfitting as well. Neither can any proof be presented to show that the seals apply only unto the New Testament time. Therefore, the application of the symbols must be sought elsewhere. Thus we are confronted with the necessity of a deeper study on the subject. According to the counsel of the servant of the Yahweh, we are admonished to study this, for it holds out an important truth for those who shall have a part in the closing of the Yahspel, Y-A-H-S-P-E-L, Yahspel work, quoting Testimony for the Church, Volume 9, page 267. The fifth chapter of Revelation needs to be closely studied. It is of a great importance unto those who shall act a part in their work of Yahweh for these last days. Had the chapter been properly understood, explained, and published before the above testimony was written, there would have been no need for this urgency. Furthermore, if it had been explained in the past, why is the lesson of such great importance, and who is bearing the responsibility of its deliverance unto the world? But the fifth chapter, separated from the fourth and sixth, cannot be comprehended, for these chapters contain one subject, namely the seven seals. The fifth chapter is mentioned because it is the heart and key of the subject. Would it be impossible to correctly understand the lesson of the seal in the sixth chapter unless we know something about the elders, the book, and the beast of the fourth chapter, where the vision begins? When we acquire some knowledge of their duty before the throne and the purpose of the assembly, as well as the occasion, then only can we make a proper application that can stand the test. Unless the meaning of every symbol is fittingly explained so that it cannot be contradicted, and a present truth lesson with special significance derived, the interpretation cannot be dependable, and there can be no truth in it, for Yahweh does not make vain repetition, neither would he waste the time of his servants to write them. Therefore, every little symbol has its meaning and reveals a great truth. The judgment and the seals, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." The door that was opened cannot be any other than the one separating the two apartments, namely the holy from the most holy, in the heavenly sanctuary, as shown by the earthly sanctuary built by the Moses. That apartment was to be opened at the beginning of the judgment, typified by the Day of the Atonement, as previously explained. Then we make no mistake in concluding that the scene is a judgment in the session. And as the voice said unto John, "I will show thee things which must be hereafter." It is evident that he looked forward in vision until the opening of the judgment in 1844. If this conclusion is correct and the vision describes the judgment in progress, then the same must be proven by the things seen in the vision. A judgment in the session requires a judge, an advocate, a jury, and representatives of those who are to be judged. But they cannot be there in heaven in person. There must be books containing the names and records of the deeds of those who are to be judged, also the time of the judgment and the reward. We quote the scripture describing the great judge, "And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald." Revelation 4, 2 and 3. The glory of the Yahweh is represented by the likeness of the precious stone. The rainbow reveals Yahweh's never-failing promise and great mercy. Yahweh said unto Noah, "This is a token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I do set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Genesis 9, 12, and 13. The following verse depicts the jury, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in a white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Revelation 4:4. For the crowns of gold denote their kingly authority to act upon the case. The white robes shows that they are men from heaven, redeemed by the Revelation 4:6. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of saints. They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, that thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto Yahweh by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5:8-9. Knoweth the beasts and elders, all saying, sin, for thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thus the beasts as well as the elders are redeemed from the earth. Again note that the beasts and elders made a total of 28. It would be impossible for only 28 persons to be redeemed out of every kindred, tongue and people and nation. For if there were only one redeemed out of every nation, the number would run into the thousand instead of 28. Therefore, it is evident that the four beasts are symbols which represent four groups of the saints gathered from all ages and out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. In a similar way, the world empires after the flood are symbolically represented by the beast. Thus, by the beast are represented those that shall be judged. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which was and is to come. Revelation 4:8. Full of the eyes. Eyes are to give light unto the body. Therefore they stand as a symbol, signifying that Yahweh's people have had sufficient light in every age, before and behind in those prophetic light, revealing unto them the past, present, and future, this being made possible by the Spirit of Yahweh and by the holy angels. For the number four shows that there are four classes of saints to be considered in the judgment. Two of these classes are to be resurrected, namely those who died naturally and those who were martyred. For the other two are they who shall be translated at the coming of the Yahshua, namely the 144,000, Revelation 7:1-8. And the great multitudes, with the palms in their hands, as shown in Revelation 7:9, and the great multitude with Sea Shepherd's Rod, volume 1, 41-51, has the wings of the lion and also of the four-headed leopard beast, Babylon and Grecia, represent numbers of periods as previously explained on page 33 and 42. Then they must stand for the same on these beasts. They are to point out the seal under which the judgment began, the sixth seal. That means the judgment of the dead. Therefore, six wings, Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which was and is to come, that is, before the judgment, in the time of the judgment, and after the judgment. Revelation 4:7. And the first beast was like a lamb, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a lion, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The beasts by nature also represent the four periods of the church. The first beast is like a lion, for the lion is the king of the beasts, and is intended to point out the first period of the congregation before the ceremonial section with which the judgment began. See chart and the Shepherd's Rod, volume 1, page 224. The second beast being like a calf, it is evident that he represents the sacrificial or typical system. Thus, the beast with the face of man must represent the antitypical period after the crucifixion. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. He represents the period in the time of the harvest. The last period is symbolized by the flying eagle to denote the congregation that shall be translated. This would be the purified congregation. A flying eagle is king of birds. As a lion is king of beasts, which is a sign of victory, thus making a perfect symbol. As the judgment of the dead began with the beast like a lion, king of beasts, just so the judgment of the living begins with the beast like an eagle, king of birds. The entire truth of these four beasts is not yet revealed. As the beast and the elders praise and worship Yahweh, it is sufficient testimony that creation is satisfied that He is just and true and the creator of all. Those whose names are written within the book of the seven seals are the ones whose sins are to be blotted out with the precious blood of Yahshua. Those thus praise and honor and glory is due unto your Elohim forever and ever. I am he that blotted out my transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Isaiah 43:25. I will bear the indignation of the Yahshua, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause, and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth unto the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Micah 7:9-19. Shall we with the great apostle say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. Romans 8:38-39. And thus far our attention has been called unto the great judge, the jury of the 24 elders, the four beasts representing those who shall be judged. And the book contained the ninth seal with the seventh seal. Now our attention is turned unto the advocate. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of saints. Revelation 5:6-8. The Lamb is a symbol of the Yahshua, our defender, said John. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah, the righteous. 1 John 2:1. For the seven horns of the Lamb signifies completeness of the power and authority, verifying the words spoken by the Yahshua. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. This immeasurable power is for our good and is freely offered unto us, said Yahshua. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Matthew 17:20. Dear friends, these words are either true or untrue. There can be no middle ground, as the Yahshua cannot lie. Will you try his never-failing word and let him fulfill his promise? For the 7 years the Lamb denotes completeness of the vision, evidence that there is nothing hid from our advocate, that all things are open and naked unto him, equally so with the Elohim the Father. The psalmist describes Yahweh's power and vision in the following words: whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. Psalms 139:7-12. For the Revelator says the horns and the eyes of the Lamb are the seven spirits of Yahweh,
sent forth into all the earth. All of this power, both in might and in vision, is embodied and demonstrated by the Spirit of the Yahweh, said the Yahshua. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 16:7. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. The seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh, Revelation 4:5. For the lamps of fire, seven in number, present before the throne, represent completeness of the truth of the Yahweh's present truth revealed unto every generation since the world began, by which we are judged. Those who are obedient unto all the light and truth given unto them have come up unto the requirement, so they are sealed and cleared from the condemnation of the law of Yahweh. For the seven lamps which are the seven spirits of Yahweh, Revelation 4:5, for the scriptures prove the fact that light and truth are revealed by the Spirit of the Yahweh only. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. The rejection of light and present truth is a sin against the Holy Spirit. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, present truth, it shall not be forgiven him. Not in this world, not in the world to come. Matthew 12:32. Our attitude towards present truth would either make a tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Matthew 12:33. Thus, present truth has the power to change the individual and fit him for the eternal life, which is the seal of the living Elohim, said Yahshua. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. John 3:5. Sea of glass. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of the eyes before and behind, Revelation 4:6. According unto the punctuation in the verse just quoted, it means that the beasts are in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. It would be impossible for them to be in the midst and also round about the throne, mercy seat. If they were in the midst of the throne, they would be taking the place of Yahweh, the judge, and his son, the Lamb. Thus, we conclude that the first clause of the verse is mispunctuated by omitting the colon. The scripture would read as follows. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, thus, it is a sea of glass in the midst and before the throne, and not the beast. A sea of glass proceeds from the throne and is a symbol of the life eternal, in the same manner as a lamb is a symbol of Yahshua, advocate. Okay, that's good. The sea is the most extensive body upon the earth. Thus it is used to represent eternity, clear as crystal denotes perfection, freedom from sin and defects. In Revelation 15:2 we read, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Fire would be the only perfect symbol that could be used to represent life. Therefore, the sea of glass proceeds from the Yahweh's throne and represents life eternal, which is the reward of those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, within the seven seals. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21:27. In the judgment it is granted unto the saints that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, and over his mark and over the number of his name, to stand on the sea of glass, life eternal. Revelation 15:2. For the arrangement and the scene as described by John proves that it is a judgment in session, for it is held in the Holy of Holies, typified by the earthly sanctuary and its servant, in which Aaron, the high priest, officiated in the seventh month on the 10th day of the month. It is called the Day of the Atonement, judgment, for the cleansing of the sanctuary or purification of the congregation, the separation of the tares from the wheat. There we are, behold, the great judge, Yahweh and the Father, the advocate, the Lamb, Yahshua, Messiah, the righteous, a jury, the 24 elders, clothed with the righteousness of Yahshua, white robes, a representation of those who are to be judged, the four beasts, the light and truth which they have kept, the seven lamps, the reward of which is to be granted unto those who are judged, sea of glass, and the book containing the names of all the righteous, beginning with Adam, and on unto the close of probation. The end of the gospel, seven seals. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with a seven seal, Revelation 5:1. Because the book contains the names of all who are sealed with the seal of Yahweh, his truth. It is called the Book of Seals, also the Lamb's Book of Life. In the following scripture, we behold the entire universe watching with the intense interest the affairs of the human family as the scroll unrolls, revealing unto them the mystery of Yahweh, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Yahweh, who created all things by the Yahshua Messiah. Ephesians 3:9. Quoting Revelations 5:11-14, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, and all that are in them heard us saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Hallelujah, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. For the scripture quoted proves that the entire universe is satisfied with the love of Elohim and the righteousness of Yahshua. We repeat Revelation 5:13, And every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard us saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb forever and ever. The opening of the book. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, is able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, which hath prevailed to open the book, And they loosed the seven seals thereof, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the old earth, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5:2-8. This scripture reveals that there is not another in the vast universe of Yahweh that is worthy, or that can open the book. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. Yahshua acquired the above title by his birth, and by his victory on the cross, for those who would believe in him as the Savior of the world. He has prevailed by shedding his blood on Calvary. Thus none other can open the book, for he alone has died for the human race. This book contains the names of the saints, and the seven seals comprise prophetically the world's history, during which time the saints are sealed. These seven periods of the unfulfilled history seal the book, and the only one that could open it, see into the future, was the Lamb. The book was written within and on the backside. Written without is the prophetic word of Yahweh, and on the backside, written within is the prophetic word of Yahweh, and on the backside is the historical fulfillment of the promises. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning, Isaiah 41:4. It is the Yahshua who has prepared the way for this judicial procedure to plead for his people, and to blot out their sin. And the typical service only those who had come before Yahweh with a confession and repentance, and whose sins, through the blood of the sin offering, were transferred into the sanctuary, had a part in the service of the Day of the Atonement. So on the great day of the final atonement and the investigative judgment, the only cases considered are those of the professed people of Yahweh. The judgment of the wicked is a distinct and separate work, and takes place at a later time. Or it's a later period. Judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh, and if it first begin at that, what shall be the end of them that obey not the Yashbo, as the books of the record are open in the judgment? The lives of all who have believed on Yahshua come in review before the Yahweh, begin with those who first lived upon the earth. Our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation, and closes with the living. Great Controversy, page 480-483. Besides the book in the hand of the judge, there are other books, but this one, which no other being in heaven or in earth was worthy to open, save the Lamb, it is the one called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Revelator says that those only shall enter the city of Yahweh whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A book of remembrance is written for Yahweh, in which are recorded the good deeds of them that fear the Yahweh and that thought upon his name. 481. The seals by the periods, Revelation says, as the evidence brought forth, cannot be questioned, that with the book of the seals, the judgment opened, and as it began with the righteous, who lived upon the earth first and ends with the last, it is positive that the seven seals spread over the entire world history. Consequently, they include every saint since the world began. The number seven bears the same evidence. As there are seven seals in the consecutive order, it is clear that our world's history is divided into seven different periods. The judgment begins with the first and ends with the last. Evidently, the first six seals complete the cases of those who were dead preceding the judgment and while it is in session. But the seventh, the sealing period, being the last, must concern the living. There is sufficient scriptural evidence that all the saved in all ages are sealed with the seal of Yahweh. For this reason, the seven periods are called seven seals. And the names of those who are sealed are written in the book. Consequently, the book is sealed with the seven seals. See John 6:27, Ephesians 4:30 and 1:13. 2 Timothy 2:19, 2 Corinthians 1:22, and Revelation 9:4. The meaning of the horses and riders, Revelation 6:1-8. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat up thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "Measure wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. The horses and symbols of the earth revealing four great changes since the world began, and the writers depict the human family under these four great variations, thus making a perfect symbol for we ride upon the earth as we would upon a horse. Had sin not entered within the human family, it would have been but one horse. But since sin entered and marred the plan of Yahweh for his people, the earth was cursed, and thus a great change came. And as sin multiplied, curse after curse was added. Therefore the white horse was succeeded by red, and the red by black, and the black by pale. The rider on the white horse was given a crown, but after sin entered, he lost his crown of kingship and glory. Therefore, the rider on the red horse, instead of having a crown, had a great sword, and to the sword was added a pair of balances. And unto the balance of death, first seal, white horse. Revelation 6:2. Okay, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. White, being a symbol of purity, denotes that the white horse represents the beginning of our world, sinless as the world was in her garb of beauty and perfection, with all the wonders on the land and in the sea. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden Easter in Eden. Everything that Yahweh had made was the perfection of beauty, and nothing seemed wanting. In this garden were the trees of the great variety, many of them laden with a fragrant and delicious fruit. There were lovely vines presenting a most graceful appearance, with their branches drooping under their load of tempting fruit of the richest and most varied hues. Patriarchs and prophets page 46:47. The earth with its delicate flowers and carpets of living green, over which the blue heavens spread as it is done, exhibited a natural view of the beauty and elegance such as no language can describe. Only the great master artist can bring forth such a wonder without flaw. The first rider, as the white horse represents the beginning of our earth in her sinless state, the rider can be none other than Adam himself, at whom the judgment began. The crown is a symbol of the kingly authority. And Yahweh said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, Genesis 1:26. The same is expressed in the words, and a crown was given him. Therefore, Yahshua set in motion a perfect world with a king created by the hand of Yahweh, and we are the sons of royalty. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him went forth conquering into conquering. The symbolical words are the fulfillment of the words spoken by the Creator's lips. And Yahweh blessed them, Adam and Eve, and Yahweh said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Genesis 1:28. It was Yahweh's plan to multiply the human family and to have them subdue the earth. Therefore, Adam went conquering and to conquer. Though sin entered and death claimed the human family, Yahweh's plan has been carried out and the earth is inhabited. Thus he went forth conquering and to conquer. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he had sat on him, had a bow. The bow is an implement used to conquer with, replenish. Therefore, Adam is given a bow, Eve, corresponding with the word. And the Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And the Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Yahweh Elohim had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Genesis 2:18, 21-23. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Genesis 3:20. Thus, this sacred institution was originated by the Creator of the universe. Marriage is honorable. It was one of the first fruits of Yahweh and the man, and it is one of the two institutions that after the fall Adam brought with him beyond the gates of paradise. Patriarchs and Prophets 46. Thus Adam conquered and inhabited the earth with the bow Eve. Second seal, red horse. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And there went out another horse that was red. If the white horse represents the first period, then the red horse must stand for the one that followed. Red is the same as scarlet, which is a symbol of sin and condemnation. After Adam sinned, the earth is cursed and its perfect beauty is marred. Thus the white horse passed away, and the red one took its place, said the Yahweh, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. But this symbol replies more directly after the flood, for the entire surface of the earth was changed by the deluge. A third dreadful curse rested upon it in the consequence of sin. And the water began to subside. The hills and the mountains were surrounded by a vast turbid sea. The earth presented an appearance of confusion and desolation, impossible to describe. For the mountains, once so beautiful in their perfect symbol or symmetry, had become broken and irregular. Stone ledges and ragged rocks were now scattered upon the surface of the earth. In many places, hills and mountains had disappeared, leaving no trace where they once stood. and plains had given place to mountain ranges. These changes were more marked in some places than in others. Where once had been the earth's richest treasures of gold, silver, and precious stones were seen the heaviest marks of the curse. And upon the countries that were not inhabited, and those where there had been the least crime, the curse rested more lightly. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 108. Thus the red horse represents the period after the flood. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11 up on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. So the storm passes by, the dark of the midnight, the heart did not face. For the storm all about me, and there's no hiding place. In the crash of the thunder, this is Yah in my trust. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Anytime Satan whispers, there is no use to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the storm never darkens the sky. Where the storm as it's over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the cloud no forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, look and shine in my presence on the bright and peaceful shore, in the land where the tempest never come, yet may I dwell at peace when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow.